Now, this is in part three, we're going to look at a text from the letter to the Hebrews. In some ways, the letter to the Hebrews is the most daring writing of the Bible. It uses terms that are so realistic about Jesus' humanity. It's amazing. And we have one of those here, where he's talking about what it means. The model, see, for most of the New Testament, the part of the Old Testament that they go to try to get a terminology, an imagery, a concept of the ineffable, the act of love in which the Son of God, eternal Son of God, died in his humanity and gave himself. How do you explain that? Well, you can use redeemed, saved, acquired a people, all of those words, which are from the Exodus, okay? Or you can go elsewhere. One of the other places you can go is the Feast of Yom Kippur, the Day of the Atonement, or the Day of, you know, of Atonement. So Yom Kippur, the Day of Purification, the Day of whatever. And it was called the HaKaporet, the Mercy Seat. At least once, Paul uses this terminology in Romans 3, when he says, you see, that Jesus is covered, he is the ilasterion, the mercy seat, covered with his own blood. The letter to the Hebrews almost founds this whole letter on this feast, okay? And so now he's going to start talking about the passion and what happened there. It is so beautiful. All right then. Christ, however, having arrived, high priest of the good things to come, he's our high priest. And he's eternal because he never dies. We don't need any other more high priest. We got one who's eternal. In fact, who's divine. So the text goes on, by the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. Now, the author is probably alluding to a text. I think it's the trial account in Mark, where the charge against Jesus is what? The charge against Jesus that they're trying to pin on him, to kill him, is his prophecy. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up. But one of the authors says at the trial, this man said, destroy this temple made by hands and I'll build another one not made by hands, meaning not of this creation, not of this. That's only in, I think, Mark. But it's here too, you see. Christ, having arrived, high priest of the good things to come, you see, through a better and more perfect skinny tent, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. So where is he going? Trying to describe the Lord going to the Father, into the very Holy of Holies, not the Holy of Holies that we made under God's direction here on earth, but the real Holy of Holies, the direct face-to-face encounter with God, with the Father. You see? And so, he went through this more perfect tent, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, and not by the blood of goats and calves, that's the Yom Kippur, but by his own blood. I don't need any other blood, I'm going to give my own. And therefore, my sacrifice doesn't just entitle me to go into the temple and sprinkle the propitiatory, the ilasterion, with the blood of bulls and goats. No, I'm going in, you see, to the sanctuary having found an eternal redemption. Isn't that beautiful? You see? It is eleutherosis aionia, an eternal redemption. I could get freed up and be good for a year to the next Yom Kippur. Precious. But with the blood of Christ, I am eternally redeemed. I belong in the presence of God the Father. Now do you see how sin is so awful? If I commit a mortal sin, I've cut myself off from this. This communion with the Father, face to face, in faith until I see Him. But that's what the Lord has won for us, you see? And that's why it goes on to say, these next lines are, these verses, 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those defiled, sacrifices for the purification of the flesh. He's going over the ritual of Yom Kippur, okay? As we just heard about it in that first making of the covenant. Oh, how much more then the blood of Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, will purify your conscience from dead works for the worshiping of the living God. Wouldn't you like your conscience healed, cured, freed from dead works, whew, once and for all? That's the blood of Christ. That's what confession is. That's what the Eucharist is. Now, let's look at the background of this, okay? The blood of goats and bulls and so forth. How much more the blood of Christ, who by the eternal Spirit... Why does he call the Holy Spirit the eternal Spirit? He's alluding to an expression. It's found in a few places. One of them would be the book of Leviticus, which I'm going to read for you. You see, what consumes Jesus in his sacrifice? He's a holocaust, right? Holocaust means what? Holocaustos, completely burnt. Or the word in Hebrew, ola, go up. A holocaust, the whole victim is changed into smoke and goes up to God. That's the best we can do. Burn an animal and have smoke go up and say, I want to go up with it. I want my sins to go and be forgiven. But then Christ comes along, you see? And then, as the text says, not in the blood of goats and bulls or the ashes of a heifer, you see, how much more? If that can purify for the flesh, that is, if I do all that and offer my sacrifice, then I'm entitled to share in the worship of the people of God in the Old Covenant. You know, it's real, but it's instruction. But it's for the flesh, that is, you can't go to the inner being of God, of the person, and relate to God. How much more then the blood of Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Now, this eternal Spirit is an allusion to the text, the eternal fire. The text goes like this. The fire on the altar is to be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest shall put firewood on it. On these he shall lay out the burnt offering and burn the fat of the communion. The fire is to be kept burning continuously. It must not go out. Now that is called an esh tamid, a forever sacrifice. Never let that fire go out. Okay, so it's not the eternal fire, it's the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in that fire of love by which he filled the heart of our Lord. That's what consumed him. That's what made him an olah, a holocaust, you know, a sacrifice. Olah in Hebrew means to go up. You see, penetrating to the very center of heaven in the holy of holy of holies with the Father, covered with his own blood, which is this esh tamid, you see. The Holy Spirit is this eternal fire moving him with such a love. You see, that in that fire of that love, he redeems us. How much more then, you see? So that allusion is very significant, you see? In this sense, I'm going to read a little bit I have here. The meaning is that Jesus was rendered apt for eternal life by his passion and resurrection, and now humanity is in proximity to divinity in his person, and because of him, all human beings may have access to God. In this sense, this word dia that is used in the text, you see, means by means of. Okay. And so, early fathers of the church caught on to this. This is one who by the Spirit, not being burned by fire as the heavens in the old covenant, but offering by the Holy Spirit. You see? And so, that's how this text goes on. See? And so, then, this is for the worshiping, to purify your conscience from dead works. Our poor conscience is weighted down with dead works. They can all be purified by the blood of Christ, who's offered in the fire of the Holy Spirit. We just join ourselves to him. Oh, I want to do that. Where do I do that? The Eucharist. The Eucharist. You receive the body that was burnt up by the love of the Holy Spirit. You receive the blood that was burnt up by the Holocaust of the Holy Spirit. It takes root in you. And you can have the fire of the Holy Spirit consume you. That's what happens to the saints. That's why they look so odd to us. Because they're not hedging their bets, you know, be good one day, be lousy the next day, oh, it'll all be okay. No, because they love God. And they want to give their whole selves to him. For everybody in the world, Saint Isaac, one of the great monks of the antiquity, used to say, now this is the sign of a man who has been rendered perfect by God. If he were to deliver himself over to the flames 10 times a day for the sake of humankind, he would consider it not enough. That's love. We should pray, really pray, to be that irrational, to be that on fire. If we ask him, he'll do it. And sometimes we're going to say, well, hey, you're going awful fast. You know, can you slow down a bit? I can't take this. And he's going to say, you don't understand. You've only got a few years in life. I've got people I want this act of love to touch and bring to be with you for eternity. So trust me. Trust me. You see? And so it goes on. The expression Holy Spirit shows that it was not by fire that it was offered, nor by any other similar means. That's John Chrysostom, you see? And so the Lord is totally transformed by the fire of love. And that's it, see, by the eternal Spirit. And so he gives himself transformed, and he rises in the power of that same fire of love, still bearing the marks of his slaughter. Forever, that humanity of Christ is always marked by the brand marks of the love with which he died. That's the Eucharist. That's what we get into. Come, my friends, eat the bread I've prepared for you. Drink the wine I've mixed for you, the wisdom says in the book of Proverbs. Come, come, eat and drink the fire that I can put in you. If you let me, I can transform you. You will forgive all your enemies. You will give your whole life to me, and together we will pray, and we will begin to effect the salvation of many people in this world. Amen.